He may be fat and bald, but he knows his sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. As always, you can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. The Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you every week by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games in the World Cup or any other big game you can think of. Located in 19 Tyne Lane up by the MSU campus, their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Another very little sports week to talk about locally, but we will go over the Bozeman Bucks, Bandits, and Outlaws. Bozeman Bucks, Belgrade Bandits, and the Gallatin Valley Outlaws. We'll have updates on their last week, plus what they're doing this week. The Norwegian Nightmare, which I'm going to try to get that name to stick for Harold Frey. I don't know if it actually will, but it's a good nickname. The Norwegian Nightmare heads home to play for his home country this summer. Tyler Hall, standout from MSU that just graduated last year, signs with the Bulls for summer league. And we look at the Cats linebacker position coming in to next year. All of that and a little smattering of other things laid in there as well. But first, national news. We'll start with the College World Series, where my Michigan Wolverines lost. Vanderbilt swept the Southeastern Conference regular season, and the tournament title set the league record for wins, tied the record for 13 draft picks, and lost back-to-back games just twice. And now the Commodores are national champs. Mason Hickman and Jake Etter combined for 14 strikeouts. Michigan ace Carl Kaufman was knocked out of the fourth inning by the Commodores, who won the World Series, College World Series, with an 8-2 victory in Game 3 of the finals last night. Vanderbilt, they had a 59-12 record, won its second title in four College World Series appearances, all since 2011. So Vanderbilt is good at baseball. Other championship came in 2014. In basketball news, moving on to the NBA, congratulations, by the way, to Vanderbilt, Michigan. You're more of a football, basketball school anyways. They weren't even ranked going into the College World Series or the playoffs or anything, so it was kind of surprising they were there. Had huge bats going out all through the year or all through the tournament that I was watching and just couldn't get it done. Vanderbilt kind of overpowered them there in the last two games. Michigan won the first game, and Vanderbilt won the next two. Moving on to NBA news, the Boston Celtics have emerged as a front runner to sign Charlotte Hornets point guard Kemba Walker to a free agency. League sources tell ESPN Walker's 8-year career with the Hornets appeared to be coming to a close, with owner Michael Jordan no longer determined to extend far enough financially to re-sign his franchise player. This is a lot of money Kemba Walker wanted, and Kemba Walker's a name everybody kind of knows, but is he that good? Is he worth $141 million in 4 years that the Celtics are looking to sign him for? When free agency opens, that opens Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern time. It looks like he'll probably accept that deal. It looks like he's being given that deal by the Celtics. But 4 years, $141 million. That just seems like a lot of money to me for, he was an all-star a couple times. That just seems like a lot of money for Kemba Walker. He did win a championship with UConn, has played quite a few years, has always been good. Kemba Walker's never been a bad player, but he's just one of those players, but I just don't know if he's worth $141 million. That just seems like a lot for a point guard that isn't the greatest shooter and everything else. But that's why I'm sitting here fat and bald, and he's making $141 million in 4 years. Houston Rockets are canvassing NBA teams with significant salary cap space to individually offer center Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and forward P.J. Tucker as preludes to them pursuing. They want to acquire a sign-and-trade deal with the Philadelphia 76ers for all-star guard Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a train wreck when it comes to PR. He's never happy. He's always upset about playing time. He's always upset that he's not getting enough shots. He's always upset somebody else isn't shooting it enough. So if you're adding him to the Houston Rockets, where you already have a guard that scores 50 points a game but couldn't guard his shoes if they were sitting next to him, and then you have Chris Paul that's getting old. I just don't think that's a great move by the Houston Rockets to bring in another non-chemistry locker room guy like Jimmy Butler. But I guess you got to do what you got to do. Houston Rockets were knocked out after Chris Paul got hurt. Chris Paul's looking to move on. He says he's not happy there. So we'll have to see how that plays out. If the beard is going to stick around, it looks like he's going to stick around with Houston. So adding Butler kind of takes away and adds a little, I guess, Chris Paul, but that's just a lot of ego, a lot of bravado in that one locker room to stay together as a team. If you're going to do anything in the postseason, sure, is it going to win you a lot of in regular season games? It's going to win you a ton of them. But I just don't see that move working out for them very well in the long run. But it looks like that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to give away a bunch of young players to try to get that second superstar. Everyone thinks that you need two or three superstars, even though Kawhi Leonard just won it without anybody around him, really. He had a bunch of backup players in him, and they won the championship. The Rockets have secured the best available first-round pick acquired for any one of the three players as part of the large deal with Philadelphia for Butler, league sources said. Directing salaries elsewhere for Butler could deliver 76ers a large trade exemption that it could use then to acquire a player over the course of the next year. Philadelphia's got a lot of players as well, but they've also got two players, or at least one now. They had two. And Fultz and I can't even remember the kid out of LSU's name. It just escaped me. But anyways, neither one of them can shoot. He can't shoot outside of the paint. So you're going to have to get somebody that can shoot from the outside to help those players out. Or Philadelphia, it doesn't matter how good you are down low and everything else. It's not really going to matter. So good luck to Philadelphia and to Houston, I guess. I don't really have a dog in the fight in the NBA. I've never really been a huge NBA fan. We kind of like to see what the Pelicans do down in New Orleans now that they have Zion and everything. So it'll be interesting to see how they also play this and who they can bring in to help him as well. Moving on to PGA news. This week, the PGA Tour heads to Michigan for the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Currently, as we bring up our screen, the leader at 9-under is Nate Lashley. Charles Howell III is at 7-under, tied for second, along with Taylor Gooch, Brian Strout, and Kevin Kisner. Nick Taylor currently at tied for 16th at 4-under. He is done with his round, so are the other ones. So 5 shots back from the lead right now after day one. Looks like if everything goes as planned right now, the cut line will be right around -1. So Nick's in good shape for the next week. This is a tournament that can get you in. I had it as the next two, but it's actually this tournament and the John Deere Classic here in 2 weeks are ones that get you into the British Open. The Open, which is being held in Royal Portruth in Ireland here in 3 weeks. So we've got this week to get tuned up and hopefully make that tournament. A lot of these players aren't. The top two that aren't already qualified are the ones that make it in to the Open, and then you've got the John Deere as another chance to get in to the Open before it happens. Next week is the 3M, then you've got John Deere, and then you go straight over to Portsmouth. Moving on to Women's World Cup, the U.S. defeated Spain 2-1 on Monday to move on to the round of 8 in the World Cup. Both goals came by penalty kicks from Megan Rapinoe. U.S. will now play host team France tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Mountain time. In other soccer news, Rapinoe was asked by a reporter if she would ever go to the White House if they were invited. Her response was, hell no. And of course, Trump responded, because that is what Trump does best. Trump responded with women's soccer player, and it's at M Pino. So it's basically Megan Rapinoe, but her Twitter handle, because this was on Twitter, is how Trump responded. At M Pino just stated that she is not going to the effing White House if we win, other than NBA, which now refuses to call owners owners. Please explain that to just criminal justice reform passed. Black employment is at the lowest level in the country's history, and the poverty index is also best number ever. League and teams love coming to the White House. We are a big fan of the American team and women's soccer. But Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job. We haven't yet invited Megan or the team, but I am now inviting the team. Win or lose. So we flipped there. Megan should never disrespect our team, but I am now inviting the team, blah, 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 disrespect our team or our country, the White House or our flag, especially since such has been done, so much has been done for her and the team. Be proud of the flag that your team, the USA, is doing great. Two things on this from me real quickly here. Number one, why does anybody care if the US team gets invited to the White House, and why would they want to go if they did? If they do, great. If they don't, then so be it. Hell, I went to the White House when I was in eighth grade. It isn't that neat. It's a big house. You see the Lincoln bedroom. You go, oh, there's pictures of Lincoln here. And oh, that's George Washington's picture. Other than that, it's not that neat. The last team that went, I think North Dakota State, there was a strike going on in the cafeteria, and they just ate McDonald's, Burger King, and Kentucky Fried Chicken while they were there. Not that great of a deal. So if you don't go, you don't. My second part of this is, why does Trump care what they say? Let's just move on. Trump seems to like that friend that we all have that argues that everything that you say and whether you're right or wrong, they still argue with you. They're the same people that make everything about themselves. Not every comment needs to be answered in some sort of look at me type response. Trump has also called out Rapinoe earlier this week because of her protest during the national anthem. Rapinoe didn't kneel. You have to stand. It's one of the rules in soccer. But she just kept her hands to the sides or lift them up. So Rapinoe's teammate, Ali Krieger, responded to Trump's tweet with, in regards to the president's tweet today, I know women who you cannot control or grope anger. Or she didn't even write this right. I know women who you cannot control or grope anger you. But I stand by Rapinoe and will sit this one out as well. I don't support this administration nor their fight against LGBTQ+ citizens, immigrants, or the ones that are most vulnerable. So that is the U.S. stance in politics. That's the only politics we'll ever talk about on this show because it's too hard for me to read, obviously, because I bumbled my way through that mess of a story. But in the long run, good for you, I guess, for speaking out. But why does there have to be a back and forth? Why is anybody on Twitter that is in that kind of form? Why anybody uses that for that? I have no clue. If you don't want to go to the White House, say, I don't want to go to the White House. Should Trump respond? No. Say, all right, then don't come. I don't care. He's got enough other things to worry about right now with Iran and everything else going on. So anyways, that's my take on that. And finally, in NFL news, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill met with NFL investigators Wednesday for 8 hours, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. It was a very thorough interview, according to the source. Hill has been banned from the team's training facilities amid investigations by the Kansas City Department of Children and Families Affairs into possible child abuse, battery, or neglect. The investigation began after officers in Oakland Park, Kansas, were called to Hill's home twice in March when Hill's 3-year-old son suffered a broken arm. Hill, a 3-time Pro Bowler, remains subject to a suspension under the NFL's personal contact policy. There is currently no criminal investigation, according to Johnson County District Attorney Stephen M. Howe. So hopefully he can get that figured out. He is a very, very good football player, and everyone loves to see him on the field. But if you're doing that, and if these allegations become true, or if any of these speculations actually happened or whatever, then no amount of goodness you do on the field makes up for that. And hopefully they suspend him for life, if that comes through. If it doesn't and he's exonerated, then he moves forward and everybody apologizes and we all have a great day. We'll take a quick break right now, come back with a look at local baseball action, plus a look into the verified camp starting tomorrow, the Bobcats linebacker position. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
And hold the phone. The sun came out today. We're born again. There's new grass on the field. Around the third and headed for home. It's a brown-eyed, handsome man. Anyone can understand the way I feel. Oh, put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be center field.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the Women's World Cup action starting tomorrow in the round of eight, and all the other big games coming up, located in 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus. Their phone number, as always, is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Let's talk about and take a look at Bucks baseball news for the past week. And the other teams in the Valley, we'll start with the Bozeman Bucks. They were traveling a lot last week. They defeated Brandon Valley down in Ohio, I believe, or where were they? Nebraska. Brandon Valley 6-4 a week ago, then fell to Bryant, Arkansas 10-0 in five innings. Bryant jumped out to a big lead in the second, and the Bucks could not do anything to recover, but they would rally back the rest of the week, defeating Creighton Prep of Omaha 6-2 on Saturday, and defeating Hopkins, Minnesota 9-4 on Sunday. Then traveled home, the Bozeman Bucks put up seven runs in the second on its way to a 10-3 victory over the Helena Senators, AA, on Wednesday. Flint Snyder, Alton Gilsman, Sage McMinn, Ben Hubley, Carson Simcox, and Wyatt Amende each had RBIs in the big inning. That was the second inning of the game. Bozeman Bucks AA opened up scoring in the first inning, with Gieselman driving in two when he singled. Bozeman Bucks AA scored seven runs in the second inning, put on the pressure, leading to walks and singles in that inning, plus an error by Helena. Hunter Williams was the pitcher for the Bucks, earning a victory on the mound for the Bozeman Bucks. He lasted seven innings, allowing four hits and three runs while striking out seven and walking zero. So congratulations to Hunter Williams. I know his mother really well. I know she loves baseball and travels everywhere to watch these kids. That's a lot of miles on a car to watch all those games down there and then come home. This week, if you want to catch the Bucks, you don't have to travel far at all. They will be here in Bozeman. The Bucks are hosting their Bozeman tournament with games today at 8 o'clock tonight, with a rematch that against Helena Senators. Friday at 6 o'clock, Bucks will be taking on the Pocatello Running Rebels. And they follow that up at 8:30 that same day with a game versus the Columbia Basin River Dogs. I love baseball names. Saturday's contest is at 7 o'clock versus the Mountain View Toros. Sunday will be the seeded tournament game. So go check them out here in Bozeman if you have a chance this weekend. Some great baseball. Some of those games hopefully will be also on KGVM as well. Moving down I-90 to Belgrade, the Belgrade Bandits had the Bozeman Bucks A team's number as they swept the Bucks Junior Club 13-3, 6-2, and 20-2. Bandits then took on a four-game series with Mount Spokane, losing three of the four against the Wild. Bandits lost the first two games on Friday, 2-0 and 9-8. That was last Friday. Belgrade split the doubleheader last Saturday, winning 7-2 in the first game before falling 10-7 in the second game. This week, Bandits will take on Dillon on a twin bill on Saturday. They will then host a doubleheader versus Livingston on Sunday. Moving down to the hottest team probably in the entire Valley and one of the hotter teams in Class A, I'm guessing. The 13-game win streak was halted Sunday, but it was still a very successful weekend for the Gallatin Valley Outlaws as the Big Stick Tournament in Rapid City, South Dakota. The Outlaws won four of their six games at the four-day tournament, with both losses coming in the final day. Longtime coach Doug Scott opted to save arms and rest several veterans with a busy week of conference games ahead for Gallatin Valley this coming up week. Gallatin Valley's win streak was snapped by the Billings Blue Jays in a 16-4 loss on Sunday morning. That was a little demoralizing, and that's when he rested his players. Outlaws lost to Cody, Wyoming later that day, 6-0 to cap the tournament. Outlaws begin the tournament Thursday with a 9-1 victory against Post 22 Bullets, and then an 8-0 win against Premier West. On Friday, they routed Post 22 Expos 14-4 and then beat the Post 22 Bullets again Saturday night 13-1. So Post 22 got bulleted by the Outlaws for sure. 22 runs to one run for them. Ouch, that's a beatdown. Hunter Johnson had a big week at the plate, finishing 5-for-5 with a pair of doubles and a triple on Thursday's win against the Bullets. Then he went 3-for-3 with a double against Premier West, en route to batting 700 in the tournament. That's 14 of 20 in the tournament with six doubles and a triple. That kid had a hell of a weekend. This week, the Outlaws will compete in a three-day tournament in Cody, Wyoming over the weekend. So look for that. They're traveling just down to Cody a little ways and take on, again, Cody that they just lost to last week. Finally, in local high school news, some injury news came out last week, as it was learned that MSU Bobcat commit Joel Olson tore his ACL trying to avoid a defender at the Badlands Bowl a couple weeks ago. This will sideline the standout running back from Bozeman for the next season as he recovers. And it just came out today that he will redshirt that year, which some people were thinking gray shirt, but I don't know all the rules on it, but I don't think with a gray shirt you can come, you get financial aid or anything. I think you have to sit out and then you kind of start again as a redshirt freshman or a true freshman the next year. I don't know all the rules, but it makes sense for him to be a redshirt so he can recoup at MSU, be able to use the weight room and use all that kind of stuff for him. Everyone here at KGVM wishes him a speedy recovery on that. This injury was the second one for Olson in the past year, as he broke his arm/wrist when he fell awkwardly in a game against Kalispell last fall. This also brought up a very interesting argument that I had with some friends, and that was all over the interwebs on the different message boards. Should kids play in these kind of all-star tournaments if they have a chance to get hurt? My take on that is that these kids are all competitors. I was never a competitor. I was one that sat on the sidelines and just watched them while I ate Skittles and got fatter. But if you are a competitor, I think it's very hard to set out these type of games. You're with all your friends. You're playing with kids that you've played either against or with for probably 4 or 5 years in football, in basketball, sometimes even longer, 6 or 7, maybe even 8 years you've played with or against these kids. So it's a camaraderie thing. It's one last chance to get out there and play with your friends. It's also a chance for you to get to learn some of your future teammates. A lot of these kids are playing with some kids that might be drafted or recruited and signed with the Cats or the Grizz for the first time. So you get a chance to meet them and hang out with your future football family in the Bobcats or the Grizzlies or Carroll or Rocky or Tech, whoever it might be, whether it be Frontier School or Cats or Grizz. You get a chance to meet those kids and hang out with them a little bit in a non-super competitive type of a game. It's not like this is for the state championship game or anything. It's a fun, spirited thing. Sure, injuries are going to happen, but I think the fact that they get to go out there and hang out with their friends and everything way outweighs that injury there. The other thing that a lot of people are saying is, well, you know, you just can't risk injury. There's a lot of times you can get injured. My wife fell down walking through the parking lot at Nordic the other day because she stepped on a ballpoint pen and she hurt her knee. So anything could happen. She wasn't playing varsity volleyball or football or basketball or anything else when she hurt herself. She just fell down. I hurt myself when a softball came back at me, and like some fat idiot, I tried to turn too fast and I blew out my ACL. It wasn't anything major, but it just was a freak thing. Hell, Johnson, that plays for the Cats, broke his foot within a week of getting to camp. It wasn't when he was trying to evade a tackle. It wasn't when he was trying to run an extra route and somebody tackled him wrong and twisted his ankle or twisted his foot and broke it. No, he slipped on the ice walking to class. So you can hurt yourself in any time. And I think the positives of playing these games and learning different things, learning from different coaches, kind of that last hurrah in high school before you take the next step to going to college to play sports or just go to college in general if the kids don't end up playing sports in college, that one last chance to throw on the pads with your buddies and kids that you've known forever and seen at camps, seen it at the tech camps, seen at the UM Western camps, seen at the Cats or the Grizz camps. Some of those kids I think is very beneficial and advantageous for these kids. So I say never look at the injury as an issue. Never be like, oh, you should never do that again. Because if you looked at that, you might as well wrap yourself in bubble wrap and never leave the house. You never know when you're going to get injured. So we're going to take another quick break. I'll probably take a text message from my wife yelling at me for telling that story, but that's all right. You're all my family. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. Once again, kgvm.org on the interwebs or 94.9 FM on the radio dial. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Do it in the naturally. But if it's too easy,
he may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. Kanskje begynner å bli psyko Men jeg føler meg sterkere enn Van Dijk nå For danser som om hele verden ser på Se på Føles ut som hele Oslo står og stirrer Har aldri tatt en kamp, du vet du alltid vinner For du står alltid der hvor sola bare skinner Skinner Helt
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. That was, I guess, a tribute out to Harold Frey. I tried to find the number one song in Norway right now, and it turns out it is Helt Erglig. Is the name of that song by Morgan Suleli Onklp. I don't know how to say O-N-K-L-P. Onklp is the artist. So that's going out to Harold Frey. The reason why we play that, but first, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all of the Women's World Cup and other big games located in 19 Tyne Lane up on the MSU campus or right by it. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgate continues. The reason why I played that weird Norwegian song that I'd never heard, but the other two that I found had swear words in it and there wasn't clean versions that I could spell, was because Harold Frey is getting the most out of his summer ahead of his final year with the Bobcats men's basketball program. Frey, standout everything guard that the Bobcats have, will be a senior. Frey has been training in his hometown of Oslo, Norway, in preparation for the International University Sports Foundation, which is the FISU, Summer Universitad, is how you say it. MSU guard will play for Norwegian's national team in the 30th edition of the FISU Summer Games, which opens competition in Naples, Italy, a week from today. The Universiad, or University Olympiad, serves as the largest multi-sport event outside of the Olympics and the largest for student athletes that there are. It features approximately 10,000 athletes who are currently competing in university studies across the world. The event includes 15 compulsory sports and three others, depending on event's location. The Summer Universiatad, which I like kind of saying now, takes place every 2 years in a different city. So congratulations, Harold Frey. Good luck to the Norwegian team. Whatever that last song said, but we wish you all that as well. Moving on to ladies basketball news. The Cats got commitments from two players this past week, both of them kind of in the backyard of the other team in the state. Leah Batty is a 5'9" combo guard from Midland Classic Academy in Midland, Texas, has committed to Trisha Binford's Bobcats, 25.8 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals as a sophomore, and was named TAPS 3A State MVP. As a junior, she averaged 26.7 rebounds and 5 assists and 1 block shot. She is from a basketball family. Her mother and two aunts played college basketball for a little old team called the Lady Grizzlies over in Missoula. This is a big get, not only because of the ties to the school to the West, but also to learn from Squires in her senior year. To be able to come here and learn from Olivia and see what she does and everything else, it's a big thing, I think, for her. And it'll help bolster that guard slash combo slash point guard position after Squires leaves after next year. Anytime you can get a two-threat guard, one that can shoot and pass the ball, it brings that defensive out, especially in Big Sky play. A lot of them collapse the middle. There's a lot of inside game in women's basketball in the Big Sky, and I think a player like this forces that defense to come out a little bit, opening up the middle, and gives her better lanes to pass, and if they don't, she's going to make you pay with her shot. So congratulations to Leah. Cats also signed Lexi Deedon from Missoula Sentinel, the 6'1 forward who averaged about 15 points per game last winter as a junior. She's also had 7 rebounds and was second in the state in steals and third in block shots. Deedon's story is inspirational because she has fought back from a brutal knee injury as a freshman. I mean, it was one of the worst injuries some people have seen. And she fought her way back, did great last year. A good number of schools showed interest in her basketball talents, including Montana, Idaho State, Air Force, Cal Poly, and Eastern Washington all had contact with her. The reason why she came to the Cats was she wants to be an engineer. So that pays off again for the Cats, having a strong academic program and everything else really paid dividends in this case to bring her to MSU. So good luck to both of those players coming up in the future. That's pretty much all the MSU news we have. We'll take another very quick break and come back with a look at the linebacker position for the Bobcats going into this next year. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
I know the Bible isn't perfect, because it left one person out. There was Adam, there was Eve, and there was someone else around. Yeah, I think his name was Steve, and he was passing through town. When he heard a snake a-whispering to Adam in the garden, take the fruit, it's good for you, Steve said, I beg your pardon. I know it's not my business, but will you just hear me out?
He said I wouldn't lie, you should not go to that tree. The serpent knows the apple grows from a forbidden seed. Oh, you want what you can't have, but you've got all the things you need. There was Adam, there was Eve, and there was Steve. He said, Adam, don't be fooled by the snake. Don't risk it all for a taste. Oh, what a waste to have everything and give it all away. Adam looked around and as he wrestled.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. That's my daughter's favorite song, so that's why I played it. I'd never really listened to it before, and it is an odd one. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the Women's World Cup action and all the other big games. They are located at 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. We have been taking a look these last couple weeks, probably 5-6 weeks, at the Bobcats position groups over, oh, we'll look at it through the next couple weeks as well. I can't believe that it's about a month away from when training camp starts. And the fall camp starts there in August, so just over a month away. Last week, we went over secondaries. So this week, we will move one line closer to the line of scrimmage and take a look at the linebacker group for the Cats. So of this group, all of the positions, this is the one I think probably needs the most improvement for the Cats to take that next step. Not saying that they weren't good last year, but to take that next step in the Big Sky and to be able to, not only in the Big Sky, but in the playoffs, to make the playoffs and then to take a win more than one game, maybe even two games, which is what something Cats haven't done in a long, long time. This group needs to come together and play really well next year. They do have some returning experience guys. That includes Chad Cano, 6'3", 200-pound sophomore from Temecula, California. Played mostly special teams last year, but did play in four games, recorded 19 total tackles as a freshman. So this should be able to give him a chance to step up and prove that he could be a full-time starter. He had some good looks last year. He played well, got bit a little bit by the injury bug like every single linebacker seems to, but did play pretty well last year. This is somebody that I think the Cats expect to step up coming into this next year. Josh Hill, 5'11" senior from Kalispell. Josh has had issues with the injury bug as well and hasn't played a full season since he got here. When he is playing, though, he shows signs of being one of the better linebackers in the conference. Some play against the Grizzlies a couple years ago when it was in Missoula, he had that big interception towards the middle of the game. That was 3 years ago. Last year and the year before, he played sparingly, but when he was in there, he played great. Somebody that I really hope, and I think Cat fans and myself, for the Cat's sake, hope he can stay healthy for a year, just to show what he can really do. One of those careers where coming in, and after his first year, thought, wow, if he didn't get hurt, this is going to be a great linebacker. And he shows that every time he's out there. He just can't stay on the field and stay healthy. So this year, I hope for his sake that he can, and we can see what he can really do, because I think he's going to be a big part of the Cats if he can stay healthy. On the inside, Michael Jobman, a 6'4", 211-pound junior from Huntley Project, had a good year last year with 73 total tackles, two pass deflections, and a forced fumble. He should compete for a starting inside linebacker spot. If Hill can't stay healthy, I can see him shifting to the outside more of the field, and that could be good. Jobman has the ability, I think. But he needs to work on his lateral movement to truly shine. He's great in the middle. He's great at reading defenses and everything else. But I think the one thing the Cats were lacking in the linebacker position last year was somebody that could really move well left to right. Laterally, cover the guys out of the backfield. They would cover them, but it was after a 6-yard gain or after a 5-yard out. And we just didn't have the speed to get to that corner on some of these. When you play triple option teams and some of these other ones, you need those linebackers to be able to spread that out. When you've got some fast inside receivers like you're going to see it with Eastern, who luckily we don't play, but the Grizzlies and some of those that have the Sulcers, have some of these other kids, Owens coming out of Billings, that are going to be able to fly through the middle, Louis McGee. It'll be really interesting to see. And those linebackers got to be able to step up and cover some of those guys, not rely on the safeties to do that. Because if our safeties are up covering them and not back kind of patrolling back there, it's going to be a long passing year for the Cats. Now that brings us to the Paul Bunyan of the Bobcats, as Coach Choate calls him, Troy Anderson. 6'3", 215-pound junior from Dillon. Everyone knows about him. Don't really need to go over his stats from last year since they were all pretty much on the QB/RB position. Anderson is one of, if not already, one of the greatest athletes I think the Cats and I've seen for the Cats in many, many years. He was a freshman of the year at running back. Then he was an all-Big Sky quarterback the next year. And he's already an all-preseason All-American his junior year. And he still don't even know which position he will play coming into next year. Sources have said that it's out there that it's linebacker is where I think he will most certainly end up. It's also, I think, the position where he has the best chance to play in the NFL. He has an NFL body. He has the NFL speed. But if he doesn't get the chance, and I know Coulter Nuanez with Skyline Sports has talked about this before in his show and some of the podcasts I've listened to from him, he mentions that if you need to give this kid a chance for teams to look at him. And I don't know if he's gotten that chance for teams to look at him at a linebacker and say, wow, we've got a lot of tape on that. Instead of just, yeah, this kid's a freak. He can do anything you want. NFL teams aren't going to look at that and say, yeah, then we'll take him, especially at smaller schools. So he's got to find a position. Great for him that he's humble and he doesn't. But at some point, you got to say, hey, linebacker is my best chance to move on. He's also one of the best linebackers, I think, just coming right in next year. Probably one of the top three or four linebackers in the Big Sky. And he'll push for the country by the end of the year. But if you've got that kind of talent where you've played a little bit of linebacker and everyone already thinks you're one of the best that'll play there next year, that's a pretty good deal. And it's something the Cats need to take advantage of. If he plays linebacker, if Anderson is on the field, that moves some of the other starters around and everything else. But if he's out there and being able to almost quarterback that linebacking and that defense, kind of like Alex Singleton used to do, who's now with the Eagles, Brock Coyle, sorry, from the Seahawks did when he played for the Grizzlies. That kind of middle linebacker, Olsen, I think, that plays for the Grizzlies now, is more of a DN/linebacker, kind of that hybrid buck position, as they call it. But if you have somebody like that out there that has the speed, has the talent, and can get players in the right position and be able to cover up mistakes with their speed and agility, that's going to go a long way for the Cats. And if he can play back there, if they can find a figuration out at quarterback. For all we know, if they don't, he might move back to the quarterback position if it doesn't pan out. But if they can get that panned out and don't have to worry about it, that is really going to bolster that Bobcats defense. And if that quarterback can throw up and put up some points when he's back there on offense for the Cats, with Anderson on that side of the field, I think the sky's the limits for this defense, and I think it'll make the other players around him better as well. Now, that is just the people that we kind of know about. There are also some great incoming options that we haven't seen a lot of or haven't seen a lot of time or just transferred in or just signed with us. One of that includes a true freshman coming in, will be a freshman next year, in Jahari Martin, 6'1" freshman from Lakeland, Florida. Now, I haven't seen a lot of tape on the kid. He looks pretty good. He's a big kid, but this kid looks like an NFL linebacker already. Holds a record for a lot of power lifting records in his home state for high school powerlifting is an actual sport down there. And he holds a lot of the records. There's a picture of him on his recruiting trip. So you always see the kid on Twitter or on the Instagrams with his hand around one of the coaches. Great visit from coach whatever. Thanks for coming down and the Bobcats showing me love. Well, his picture is shirtless. He is shirtless. Denarius McGee has a shirt on. But it is phenomenal what this kid looks like as a high school kid. He looks like a grown man at 18. I've seen this picture quite a few times. I have yet to let the wife see it because I kind of want her to stay with me. I don't want her to realize, wow, there's people that look like that out there. This kid, if he can, there's a lot of hype there just by, hey, that picture and look how ripped he is and how buff he is. But from his tape, he seems like a great get. He's 6'1", so right around the 6'1", 6'3 is where you want him. He has time to grow by the time he's a senior. If he can come in with any of the promise they're expecting, he's going to be a huge, not in muscle, but also in recruiting ways, a huge get for the Cats. Jory Choate, redshirt freshman from Bozeman, Coach Choate's son. Son has a lot of people in front of him, I think, for starting, but he should play a majority or major dividends, I should say, on special teams this upcoming year, kind of like a couple other kids we'll talk about here in a second did, to see how he does in that and see how he responds to that. So one of those other kids, of course, is Taden Gilman, 6 foot sophomore from Kalispell, and Nolan Ackleson, 6'1 redshirt freshman from Billings. Both of them played a lot of special teams. They have some game time experience. They have some ability out there. They've seen the field. I think they're a little ahead of any redshirts freshmen coming in because they have seen playing time in the past. They're both freak athletes. I think they're going to be really good. Askelson could move back to safety. He's that tall at 6'1. He's that rangy, but I think linebacker is where he's needed the most. So that's a look at the Cats. If they can put it all together, I think they're going to have a great season. If they can stay healthy, they've spent 5 or 6 years since they've gone a full year with being healthy, should be great. So we'll have to see how all that plays out and see how the Cats do. But if that linebacker position can stay healthy and get on the field and do something, I think the sky's the limit for the Cats. Well, that'll wrap up another week of the show. Once again, thank you very much for joining. We will be off maybe next week. We're kind of trying to figure out our schedule with 4th of July. We will be back the week after that, though, no matter what, to take a look at basketball. The Cats defensive line. Good luck to the women's sports teams tomorrow, women's World Cup team. And once again, this has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. Thank you very much for listening.
It was early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn. I really have enjoyed my stay, but I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne, I'm an early morning lover, and I must be moving on. Yeah, yeah. Now I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth. Have to have things my own way to keep me in my youth. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without